What's up? It's your homegirl, Complex Angel, and welcome back to another episode of Self Love is My Rehab, where we are all tired of abuse being our addiction. I'm about to get my partner in crime, DC, on the line so we can start the show. So tune in and love yourself. Yo, yo, DC, what's going on?
Yo, what's poppin'?
Nothing much, nothing much. Had a little reality check today that I am short. And, yeah, you know, being my height, I knew I was short, but I always felt like I was normal size. Yeah, today just kind of proves to me, no, I'm not. Yeah.
So
that's my reason.
what gave you the reality check? What happened?
I went to go pick up some candles from my homegirl, Sheena. Shout out to Leo Scents. That's her business. And my boyfriend went to go pick up his mom a candle, and she wanted to take a picture because she wanted to, you know, put it on her page for promotion. And just standing next to him, she showed me, like, wow, you are really little. And, yeah, I'm so short. Like, oh, yeah.
Oh,
I look like I was his little daughter. Yeah.
Oh, that's actually fucked up. You got to erase that mind. Y'all can't be intimate and, you know, yeah, we're not going into that. But anyway.
Okay.
Anyway. Mm-hmm. That sucks to have somebody, you know, just kind of just put that out there. It's like, well, fuck, I've been this way all my life. I know what I look like.
Right. Right. Oh, yeah, but no, what was your five of the week?
Man, really just getting back to work and realizing how you shouldn't be laid off for so long, you know.
Oh God.
work cardio is different from, you know, just any other type of cardio, because I swear, like, because I've been working out a lot during the layoff / quarantine type of thing. So I've been physically active or whatever, but it's like when I got back to work, it was like, yo, like, when we shutting down again, like, because I started this Tuesday, and I just stopped crying Saturday from it. Like, that's how bad it was.
Oh, God. Man.
It's been the worst.
Damn.
But other than that, I mean, in the sense, it still feels good to, you know, to get back to work and, you know, kind of have some normality, you know, from this unusual, unordinary, you know, life that we've had these past few months. So.
Mm-hmm.
All in all, it felt good to get back to work and everything.
That's good. That's good. Well,
yeah.
Okay. So, on last week's episode, we had Mr. Terrell Farside in the building, and we talked about manipulative behavior. And Mr. Farside really dropped some knowledge about how, as kids, the number one manipulative trait that, you know, a lot of people in our lives did to us was guilt tripping. I know that I had that. That really hit close to home. And he also dropped a nice little heavy gem before we segue at the end about love being black in this time. And,
exactly.
Yeah, I stand on that. You know what I'm saying? And, yeah, so now I'm going to pass it over to you, DC, and can you let them know what the Shut Me the Fuck Up topic is tonight?
Yes, yes. So the Shut Me the Fuck Up topic tonight is we're going to be talking about misery loves company. Now, we all basically go through this, you know, with family members, friends, associates, whoever it may be.
Yes.
So we're going to basically talk about, you know, the cons of it all, because I don't see any positives in this motherfucker. So we go talk about the negative aspects of it and, you know, how we've dealt with it and or if we've been on both sides of the fence.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not even going to lie to you. I think honestly, I've been on both sides of the fence. Now,
okay.
I say that because, like, with me, like, when I'm in misery, like, I don't tend to hate on anybody's success or, you know, or what have you. You know what I'm saying? It's
mm-hmm.
just more so that, like, I'm still going to root and congratulate and do everything like that, because I do want to see people win and be successful. But,
mm-hmm.
and maybe other people may have had this mindset too, where it's just like, you're purely happy for what someone else is doing, but you just kind of look at yourself and beat yourself down and just wonder, like, okay, like, what is it that I'm not doing that this person is doing to where, like, I can't be as successful in my own world? You know what I'm saying? Not to have that person's success, but to be successful in my own world. So I think that's a sign of my misery that I've had, you know what I'm saying? But as far as, like, on the company aspect of it, it can get real critical, you know what I'm saying? Well, let's take a few steps that kind of really define what, you know, Misery Loves Company is kind of about. It's really about an individual or a group of individuals who are, you know, basically just miserable with their lives. You know, people who, you know, like to bring people down to their level and don't want to necessarily see anybody succeed, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, they are incapable of doing it as well, you know? But, yeah, I know, like, in a lot of my friendships, like, I kind of, like, realized, like, how some of them, I tended to watch how they started to, you know, act and react to certain things. Like, I've the difference, especially, like, when I started, like, my clothing business or whatnot. You know, I had ones that were, you know, very, very supportive, you know what I'm saying, whether it was mentally and physically. You know, people was buying shirts and everything like that who really wanted to support and was just, you know, overall happy. And then there was ones where it was just like, you know, they take a look at him like, oh, yeah, that's creative. And it's like, I mean, what do you mean? Like, you know, like, you would assume that you would get more, you know, more support and more, you know, congratulations out of it, you know what I'm saying? Especially if you're the one that has done that for them previously, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a fucked up world, you know what I'm saying? But I honestly feel like, real talk, like, sometimes a person's misery, they don't tend to inflict that misery upon you as well. Because it's just like how I kind of put it, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes people are just, you know, looking for ways to seek help, but just don't interpret it the right way. You know what I'm saying? Some people just tend to just, you know, flush their miseries out on you and sometimes don't even expect it. You feel me?
Well, I definitely agree. I definitely agree with that. I definitely agree with that because that was going to be my question to you. Like, why do you think Misery Loves Company? Because a lot of times people can play victim and don't even realize that they're playing victim. And I know that I was in that mindset back in high school. It was like very, very miserable for me back then. I lived in a 2-bedroom townhouse with like 6 people. So it's like I never really had my alone time. It's like every room I was in, somebody was there. Like the only place that I really had my alone time was like on the computer, but wasn't really alone because my uncle was like sleep on the sofa couch and my cousin was in there. It was just a lot. So I would take out what was going on at home, I would take it out on my friends at school. And because I wasn't allowed to talk about what was going on at home, you know what I'm saying, it came out in anger and everything. Or whenever, you know, they would talk to me, it was like, this is my chance to spill what's going on. I'm looking at it like, you know, I have a friend that's listening, but on the other end, it got to be too heavy. And one of my friends back in high school, they didn't say it to me directly, but I overheard it from another friend that basically, like, they didn't even like answering the phone whenever I called because it was always going to be something very depressing. And I think, like, that day was just like, wow, you know, I never wanted to be, you know what I'm saying, negative Nancy. I never wanted to be that. I just wanted someone to listen because I feel like I didn't have that at home. So I definitely understand what you mean, like, that people don't like to flush their misery out on you. But I do think that some people like the woe with me because it gives them the attention that they weren't getting before.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just to kind of piggyback off what you said, I was that way too, honestly. And I noticed that I had to be careful as to who I vented to. You know what I'm saying? And because I've kind of learned from that in a sense, you know, I'm very cautious as to who I open up to. You know what I'm saying? Until I get some sort of verification, like, okay, this is the person that I can trust and I can talk to because they have good intentions and, you know, they don't want to speak or manifest bad shit in my life type of thing. And with that being said, that's kind of how I learned from it, you know what I'm saying? Because I paid attention as to how, you know, I would, especially like with catching up with, like, you know, people that you haven't seen in a minute, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That you once were able to, you know, consult with, and, you know, they can be able to kind of like, you know, be that ear and listen and everything like that. Like, I remember I was talking to somebody and I was telling them about, you know, everything that I was going through and, like, you know, the steps that I'm taking to, you know, make life better and everything like that. And, you know, they was quick to change the subject. Like, they, you know, like, they didn't give a shit type of thing. And it's like, you know, like,
right.
I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, but it's like at the same time, it's like we were once on that level to where, like, we were, you know, ears to each other's problems, you know, to be able to just vent, you know what I'm saying? And just, you know, try to resolve whatever was going on at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Just kind of like, you know, ease your mind off of it type of thing.
Mm-hmm. That part. And I think that, because I was on that side too, you know what I'm saying? Like, where I'm talking to somebody and it's like they change the subject. And I never took it personal because my first granddad passed when I was in middle school, and they had a grievance counselor program to help people, you know, deal with loss. And they said in there that a lot of things that you go through, other people are not going to know how to help you in it because people don't know how to really talk about their own pain. So how can they help you with yours? You get what I'm saying? You have to, I looked at it from that standpoint, but I also think that people get tired of enabling people and they get tired of letting people just talk about their problems. Some people want to see you know what I'm saying, turn that talking into action. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
But it's like, if you're not listening and you're not getting what you need to do to change, people back off. Like, you know what? Okay, listen, you want to stay stuck. You want to be in this woe with me and everything. Like, I've told you time and time again what you need to do to change it, and it's just not getting through to you. So they back off. You get what I'm saying? And I've had people back off from me, and but honestly, them backing off, it took for me to say, okay, now I got to get my shit together because I don't have nobody else, you know what I'm saying, to lean back on and talk to and everything. But yeah,
I mean, that, I feel like that, yeah, that definitely is the reality check. I've on occasions I've have been the one, because I'm the type of person, not speaking for myself, but speaking for others who, you know, who are associates or friends with me, like, they always said I was easy to talk to, you know what I'm saying? Because I wasn't that type of person that, you know, kind of belittles you, you know what I'm saying, because you're in misery. But don't get it twisted either. Like, I'm only be repetitive for so long to where it's just like, okay, I've been constantly giving you the, you know, some sort of advice or some sort of clarity as to what direction you should go into. But it's like, you know, at one point I'm gonna be like, okay, like, look, we've been, you know, singing the same old song. I've been dissecting this song to you numerous of times. It's like, now we need to figure out why the hell we not moving forward with what we're talking about. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I feel like people just get a kick out of that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, people, I feel like that's just another sense of attention. You know what I'm saying? People just love to just have attention. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like they use their misery just for that. You know what I'm saying? Because granted, most people can't naturally attract, you know, conversation or, you know, just attention overall. You know what I'm saying? You got, you have to have something wrong with you or something going for you in order for someone to want to be bothered with you. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
there's never nothing between you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you're either that one or you're that one or you're in, or, you know, you're a mixture of them both. You know what I'm saying? There is no in between where, like, a person's cool, calm, and collected and trying to get their shit together, you know, type of thing. Those people don't really get attention like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't be in transition. You're going to have to either be A or B, you know what I'm saying, in order to get some sort of attention. Because, like, with me, like, I do have a lot of shit going on. And, yeah, I am in transition. You know what I'm saying? I'm transitioning into, you know, bigger and better things. But it's, like, it's noticed by very little. You know what I'm saying? And I have quite a few people in my life that, you know what I'm saying, that do know about, you know, this, that, and the third. But it was people that I, you know, in a sense, needed to rely on during this transition, but some of them flaked out on me and everything like that. And it's like, you use that type of action just to prevent me from, you know, progressing, which is fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, I know for me, like, I go above and beyond for people. You know what I'm saying? And it sucks that, you know, you have to have that lesson learned to where it's just like you find out that they won't do the same for you. Like, it's fucked up.
I actually had a story that I wanted to say before I asked my next question to you. You just made me think about it. When I was working at my last service coordination job, it was a girl there that helped me out in a sense when I had left the abusive relationship that I was in. She gave me a room to stay in. It was her old room. She let me rent it out while I was waiting for my apartment to get ready. And I was, like, very prideful. I didn't want any of my personal life getting out at work because I didn't want anybody to know about, you know, what was going on. But something happened on a certain day, and this was prime example. I was on my way to come back and visit Michigan, and the girl that helped me out, she had came into the office, and she was like, you getting ready to go on vacation? And I'm like, yeah, I'm so excited. So she was like, well, question. How are you able to go back to Michigan, but you can barely afford to keep food in your refrigerator? Because, at the time when I was staying in her room, I was paying rent there, but I also had to give the apartment. I had to give them my security deposit. I had to give them first month's rent, and I had to give them last month's rent. So, you know, I was kind of, like, loaded, and I remember one time I asked her if she had, you know, a couple of dollars for food. So she said it. It wasn't a lot of people in the office when she said it, but it was still people in there. And I remember I was so livid. You get what I'm saying? Like, I mean, like, I couldn't think for the rest of the day. I couldn't work because I just couldn't believe that she said that. But now looking back at it, I look at how this was a girl who got knocked up by somebody who was married. People at the job was talking about her. You know what I'm saying? Our boss was doing cutbacks at that time, and her position got let go. So she had to give up her house and her apartment, and she had to go move with her mom down in Georgia. So I'm like, you know what? You were at a low point, and you wanted to, you know, knock me down and make yourself feel better. So if that made you feel better, sweetie, go ahead. You get what I'm saying? Because I'm blessed. But at the time, I was hurt. So it's like, I say that to say, when you can, like, really just step back and just look at what you are going through, you know what I'm saying? Because people that you hang around that's miserable, you can become them. You get what I'm saying? Like, on some real shit. So, like, that ties into my next question for you. Like, when was the time when you hung around a miserable person and did you notice yourself becoming like them? Like, if you could really think about it, relationship standpoint, you know, job or friendship.
I mean, honestly, I mean, if you, if, yeah, I mean,
just listing all those off, I mean, that's, yeah, I've had people in those departments that I, that got rubbed off on me, you know what I'm saying? When it came to relationships, I was, honestly, in relationships, I was always me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, no negativity from them rubbed off on me. Like, at the end of the day, like, when it comes to relationships, I'm going to always be me. You know what I'm saying? Like, unfortunately, it don't never work out in my favor like that. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't change the fact that, you know, I wear my heart on my sleeve and, you know, I put my all into a relationship. I mean, shit, maybe that run a motherfucker off. I don't know. But... You know what I'm saying? Maybe I need to be an asshole nowadays. I mean, who knows?
No, I wouldn't say that. I would just say, never mind. We'll go into that another time.
No, I was just joking. But no, like I said, at the end of the day, I'm going to still be me. You know what I'm saying? Because to me, that's a feel-good moment for me to be able to care and love for somebody. And just, you know, the roll of the dice is just hoping that they reciprocate. But that's basically the relationship standpoint. Friendship standpoint. What rubbed off on me from friends was basically just the outgoing aspect of things. It was really how I got introduced into drinking. You know what I'm saying? Because it was the friends that I was, you know, in cahoots with at the time was, you know, all about partying, outgoing, and you know, everything like that. And wasn't nothing wrong with that, but it was just, you know, it involved drinking every time too. You know what I'm saying? Where, you know, it affected me because obviously, you know, couldn't handle it. You know what I'm saying? The older I got, you know what I'm saying? I was still trying to do it like I was 21, 20-ish. And, you know what I'm saying? That shit backfired on me. You know what I'm saying? That's just how it turned out.
Right.
But, There was other things that, you know, associates of friends may have partaken into, and, you know what I'm saying, like as far as weed and everything like that, like, it's just certain shit that I'm just not peer pressured into, you know what I'm saying? If I have my own thing, that's my thing, you know what I'm saying? I always just stick to my shit, whatever's comfortable, like, I don't really... you know, be going in the apple basket and be fucking picking out every apple. Like, if there's one good fucking apple in there, I'm grabbing that one and I'm going to nourish that one. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't be greedy with the shit. But, definitely drinking was a thing that rubbed off on me. And it's almost the whole thing of being a man ho.
that
shit almost rubbed off on me. You know what I'm saying? And honestly, it tied in with, you know, the complications of relationships. You know what I'm saying? Because it was like, if I can't make it work with one fucking person, then shit, I might as well just be able to have multiples of them. So when one make me mad, I can go to the other one and that one make me fucking feel better. But, you know what I'm saying, it didn't work out that way. I was able to reel it back in and, you know, just be like, hey, look, that shit ain't you. You know what I'm saying? Stick to what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? Eventually somebody going to come around and appreciate you just being you. So I let that shit alone. But okay. And then as far as work, I say my boss kind of rubbed off on me a little bit. I'm starting to be more of a dick at work. No pun intended to my boss. You cool, my guy. But, but no, like, I mean, he molded me to, you know, not stress as much and stuff like that when it comes to work. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a purchaser and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So like, we have to consult with food service reps, executive chefs and everything like that within the country club and everything like that. And when I first started that position, like, I used to just, cause I aim for perfection in everything I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just a perfectionist. And if it ain't done to my best of my ability to where I feel like it's perfection, I feel like it ain't shit. You know what I'm saying? It's mm-hmm. either all or nothing when it comes to me. So, like, you know, he would constantly give me, like, you know, pep talks and be like, you know what, like, you know, just chill, relax. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just another day of work. At the end of the day, they'll be fine. You know what I'm saying? And he had to pretty much tell me that for pretty much about 5, 6 years. But, you know, eventually it kind of caught up to me and it was just like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and honestly, it took for a lot of shit to be going on outside of work for me to just be like, you know, a 9-to-5 ain't worth stressing out over. You know what I'm saying? So it was just like, I'ma just let it do what it do. Y'all can get pissed off if shit don't show up here today. Like, it's okay. Like, you know what I'm saying? There's alternatives. Like, it's cool. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I had to pretty much be optimistic, you know, when it came to work. And I owe that to him because I started to look at how he interacted with everybody. And it was just like, well, I mean, shit, if he can do it, let me try it out real quick. Maybe that'll ease my urgency to try to satisfy everybody up in this motherfucker. And, yeah, sure enough, it worked. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. So, I mean, not everything... Okay. Not everything is terrible.
Yeah. okay. I'll answer the question, but I'm just going to answer it from the friendship perspective. I had a friend that I had known since I was 12 years old. People were saying that they thought we were sisters. They said we looked just alike. She could be very miserable. And I noticed, like, when I first started hanging around her, I would get irritated. And I thought, like, okay, Pasha, she's a cool person. I thought maybe I was just being mean, but I think my body was trying to tell me back then, this bitch ain't for you, you know what I'm saying? Keep it moving. But you know me, I was such, like, a gullible person, and her house was, like, a place I could go spend the night at to get away from what was going on in my house. But I started realizing how miserable she was when, like, social media really became big, like Facebook. Her timeline, oh, reading her statuses, sometimes I felt like I was that person. Like, she'll go from happy statuses to mad statuses, and it will be just, like, so draining to read it. We will always, like, fall out and everything. I think that we were, like, the perfect frenemies and everything. And when we fell out, like, you know, she really rubbed off on me because I would say hurtful shit about her. Word would get back to me that she was saying hurtful shit about me. And, you know, it's like at one point I just really wanted to be friends because it's like I wanted to get back at her. Like, I want to be her friend again. So if she say something disrespectful, because she would be a bitch towards me. And I was the type of person I would hold my tongue because I know my mouth can be very reckless. And when I say shit, I can't come back from it. So I would hold my tongue, but then afterwards, I'll be in the corner like, oh, I should have said this. I should have said that. Like, I'd be having talks to myself. So I'd be like, you know what? Yeah. So it's like, I'll get back cool with her. Like, if she hit me next time, I got her. I got her, right? But it's like, I will fall right back into the trap. You know, I will fall right back into the trap of, like, caring, and, like, when she would get mad, like, there have been times where, like, I would really try to tell her, like, yo, I understand that you've been hurt, and I understand that you have an unbothered mentality, but you're reflecting that unbothered mentality onto the wrong people. You're pushing people away who really care about you. I will write these long-ass messages, and she will put the thumbs up, or she will put K. The killer conversation, she will put K. So I just had to realize, after a while, you know what? You go your own fucking way because we're just too toxic for each other. Like, we've been trying to hold on to something. It's like, what for? You know what I'm saying? And it took for me to move here to realize that a lot of her ways rubbed off on me because friendships that I was building here, they like, I like you, but I don't like that part about you. You know what I'm saying? She couldn't hold water. I picked up on that, and I had to work on being a more private person. I had to come here to really learn what true friend, like what a true friend meant. You get what I'm saying? Like, I had to hang out with the girls out here in Philly to teach me how to tell my friends that I love them because I was very detached. You get what I'm saying? Like, so it taught me, like, who was real back at home, and it taught me who was fake back at home. And she was one of the people that I had to let go. So, yeah. But,
I wanted to piggyback off something real quick. No, because you had said something that made me think about some shit. Is it possible? And this is a term that I'm making up right now. I like to call it the middleman of misery. The three M's. The middleman of misery. Because you were saying, like, how word was getting back to you, not from her, but from the middleman, that this shit was said about you. Can that be a person that's trying to ruin a relationship because of the simple fact of how good of a foundation that relationship is? You know what I'm saying? Because like that can kind of go from friendships to relationships type of thing. You know what I'm saying? That's why, because it's like,
Before you say it, just let me say, is that one? It was her family trying to tell me, like, it was one of her cousins that was trying to tell me, like, yo, you could do better. You don't need her as a friend. Like, she says this. They were trying to warn me. You get what I'm saying? But you're right about that. That's all I wanted to say. Yeah. Continue. Yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like, yeah, that could be true too. But I mean, that can honestly too be mistaken for, you know, the same type of thing. Because like, I feel like initially, and they probably could have did that. They probably could have did what I'm about to say initially. But if you're talking shit about a friend, I feel like that's a conversation that those two people should have. Like, nobody should be hearing shit from a third person. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I feel like the cousin, you know, just to go along with the example, I feel like the cousin at the time should have went to the friend and was like, look, hey, you know what I'm saying? You talking shit about your friend, you, like, unless you going to go over there and resolve that shit, don't come talking to me about it. You know what I'm saying? Because you feel like you got a lot that you need to say, and yet you're still friends with this person. It's like, why do that if you're still going to be friends with them? Like, talk that shit out to where you won't have to constantly spit out that toxic shit. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I do get that, you know what I'm saying? Like, because the person may feel like, okay, you're too much of a good friend to be dealing with this motherfucker. So I'm going to take it upon myself to free you. Yeah, and you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the 50-50 thing about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, a person can, like, really care for the simple fact that you have good intentions for somebody that don't have the same for you. So it's like, they'll just take it upon themselves to kind of free you from that misery. You feel me?
Let's see. I'm about to spin it because I got one last question for you. I'm about to spin it before I say it. I understand about the middleman misery, but at the same time, we could say this in a relationship. If you're dating a girl and one of her sisters come up to you or one of her cousins come up to you and say, yo, listen, she's this, 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 and that. You get what I'm saying? You're not the one for her. It's not going to work. You're going to keep, you know what I'm saying? Like you're too good for her. Run. And you don't take that advice. And then you go through all these years, because I think that we were friends since we were 12 and we fell out last year. So like 16 years for you to find out everything that person was saying to you back then was true. Because you may have think like, oh, they're just saying it because they're jealous or they want me. Sometimes you have to be thankful for a person giving you a heads up, because nobody know about family. Nobody knows about a person but they family and but they self. You get what I'm saying? So it's like she wasn't lying about it back then, because I had to really look back and realize a lot of fucked up things, and she wasn't the only one coming to me saying that this person was very toxic. You get what I'm saying? I had to step back and look at the picture. But you're right, though. There are middlemen people who are misery out there. Like, they will try to break up something because they want that. I'm not taking that. But that right there, they wasn't lying. We're going to say that. But, oh, no, last thing. So what's the message you want to give to the listeners, DC, before we segue?
Honestly, for people that's in misery, first of all, take the time out to love yourself more than what you are. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, the most valuable thing that you can have is love for yourself. You know what I'm saying? Anything else, just let it, you know, go with the flow. That's what I have for a person in misery. You know what I'm saying? Take the time out to just love yourself and learn you, and not be so worried about where you are in life. You know what I'm saying? Like, just the time to love yourself and everything else will fall into place. You know what I'm saying? You will attract positive things. Be positive. You know what I'm saying? Being positive will attract the positive things. And, you know, keep your eyes peeled on, you know, cold misery people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I guess in a sense, you know, be able to, you know, find people, you know, on your level. Stop trying to compete with people that are, you know, stop trying to compete, period. You know what I'm saying? There's no need for competing in life. You know what I'm saying? Your road is your own road. Stay in your lane. You know what I'm saying? Take notes from other stories, but continue to write your own fucking story. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, everybody got their own story to write. Write your own. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
And for the company of misery, you know what I'm saying? Don't let criticism of miserable people, you know what I'm saying, alter your course of action. You know what I'm saying? Stick to what you're doing. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Don't allow people to analyze how you do your shit. You know what I'm saying? That's just like a person that's an entrepreneur. You know what I'm saying? A right entrepreneur. Like, you know, don't going into some shit that actually makes sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't allow a person to belittle, you know, your dedications in life. That's just like, you know, like for me, like if I was to, you know, talk to somebody about my clothing brand and, you know what I'm saying, I'm talking about like I'm working hard doing this, this and that, you know what I'm saying, trying to get my business together, and they be like, you know, well, until you're working 9 to 5, you won't know what a job is like. You like, hold up, bitch. Chill. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that those are the type of things, you know what I'm saying? Like, that criticism, like, whether it's in a joking manner or not, like, you got to pay attention to that shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, so yeah, definitely just stay on your P's and Q's. And, you know, at the end of the day, just love yourself and just, you know, leave all that competing shit behind and, you know, just focus on you.
Okay. Well, I'll say this. To people pleasers out there, enablers, people who love to heal the broken, understand that people who are miserable only see life through a tunnel vision perspective. And no matter how much you try to get them to look at the brighter side, if they don't want to step back and look at the whole picture, you have to let them be. And for people who are only focusing on tunnel vision, I'm just letting you know what you go through. There's always signs that if you don't get out of it, something else bad is going to happen. The more and more deeper you dig, you dig yourself into a hole of misery and you dig yourself into distracting yourself from pain, you're going to find yourself at a dead end to where you have no choice but to look at all the shit that you let just spill all over the place. So I'm hoping that you come to your senses. And it's like DC says all the time in the shout-outs, you know what I'm saying? Say it, DC, you know what I'm saying? Like, we waiting for you to come up out of that darkness.
Oh, yeah, to all the negative people,
yeah.
We still love you. At the end of the day, we just wait for you to catch up, mustard.
Yep, and with that, we can segue right into shout-outs and appreciations. DC, take the flow.
For sure, for sure. First and foremost, shout out to Self Love is My Rehab. Without this podcast, I will not be the level-headed, content, go-getter, positive person that I am today. But don't get it twisted. This is not the end. I'm still in the process of being a better person tomorrow and therefore after. Shout out to God, because without him, it wouldn't be possible. Shout out to Complex Angel for bringing me on to start this process of being a better person. Shout out to Dynamic Culture Apparel. My shit is booming, my nigga. I'm sorry. Mind if I gloat a little bit?
Sure.
Man, my shit is booming. It's doing great. You know what I'm saying? Like, I couldn't be happier, you know, as to how good it's going. Now, granted, I'm not your typical person that, you know, that wants to, you know, gloat about it all the time. I'm just being as humble as I can be, you know what I'm saying? And that's been my way of operating. It ain't broke. I ain't fixing the shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, every once in a while, I might just, you know, come out of nowhere and, you know, just show myself some appreciation. But I mean, other than that, I mean, I ain't trying to be out here, you know, quote unquote stunting on niggas. Like, that's not the goal. The goal is to be me, do me at all times. Shout out to all the positive people, you know what I'm saying, that's conquering their goals, you know what I'm saying, you know, continuing to show self-love to themselves, and all the positive energy that's being given out here, you know what I'm saying. I also want to say that Black love is awesome. It's so underrated.
Yes.
Let's amp it up, you know what I'm saying. Like, Black love is so beautiful. Let's continue that positivity as well. And shout out to all the people with negative energy. At the end of the day, we still love you. We just wait for you to catch up. Just stop playing with me, my baby. And that's all I got. All
right. I'm going to say shout out to New Beginnings. Shout out to God, because without him, I don't have a close relationship with myself. Shout out to you, DC, for being ready to go every Sunday. Like you said, without God, there wouldn't be a DC, there wouldn't be a Complex Angel, there wouldn't be a Self-Love Is My Rehab. I also want to shout out Queen K on Queens of Vibes and Visions. We are wrapping up season one tomorrow. I'm so excited. And also, she's going to be coming to visit this week. So I get a three-day work week. So I'm so excited. I get to be off on Thursday and Friday, vacation time. Yeah. Shout out to No Apologies. It's still relevant a year later. And honestly, I could not be any more grateful. I'm so humble. Books that I wrote in the past that I took off to revise, they coming back. They did not get this much attention. So I know that I put my blood, my sweat, and my damn tears into it. Out of Darkness will be out October 18th. I am 100% sure that the readers are going to love this one because I cried again. Queen K, I left a voicemail crying to her just venting and stuff. So, yeah, y'all about to get another choke slam book. But, yes, and, yeah, just shout out to being Black, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to my President Obama. You know what I'm saying? That's the only birthday that I recognize. Sorry. Anyway, so let's segue into Stimulate Your Mind. DC, you ready to get your mind stimulated?
Let's stimulate that man, Curry.
All right. So my question this week, I got this from the Friend Zone podcast. Are you creating to feel special or make change? And what that question means is the passions that you have now, like DC, you have a clothing brand. Me, you know what I'm saying, we have this podcast and I'm doing my books. Are we creating to feel special, to get clout from other people? Are we doing this to make a difference? So I'm going to let you answer first.
I feel, for me personally, I'm doing it to make a difference. Honestly, I've never had the mentality to, you know, be somewhat of a businessman. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't say that I've always, you know, settled for being a 9-to-5 guy or, you know, working for somebody else, but it never crossed my mind that I would ever have the ambitions to be a businessman. You know what I'm saying? So I'm definitely doing this to prove something to myself that it can be done. I don't care about no clout. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care to feel important to anybody. You know what I'm saying? And that's honestly just a learned numbness. You know what I'm saying? Because I was never important to anybody in my eyes. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people who have done me wrong could tell me different, but your actions speak louder than your words. Always remember that. So, yeah, that's how I look at it. I'm definitely doing it for a change, because it's a change in happiness within it all. You know what I'm saying? I'm happier for the simple fact that I know that I'm doing something, and I'm doing something legit. You know what I'm saying? This is something that I can look back on and say that I built this shit from the ground up. You know what I'm saying? With no necessary help. Like, this was all me. This was all my mind. This was all my creativity. Like, all this was me. You know what I'm saying? And that's something to be proud of. That's something, that's an accolade to be proud of. You know what I'm saying? Just knowing that you built something from the ground up and, you know, people are supporting it. You know what I'm saying? But as far as like the clout, I'm not going out. I'm not going any extra, you know, just to, you know, just to get some clout. You know what I'm saying? Even though clout will create money, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, if you know, if I had to do clout, it would be to just to get more money. But you know what I'm saying? As far as like being important to people, like, I'm not about to be overly dramatic and try to, you know, hit up DMs and shit. Now, granted, I did it before. I'm not even about to, before I even say that, I've done it before. But, you know what I'm saying? It was just to get more notoriety. You know what I'm saying? But I figured that, you know, with the mechanics of everything on social media, on how to pretty much promote your shit, you got to come out your pocket a little bit. But still, you know, it's better to do it that way than to just be, you know, desperately trying to reach out to people with clout in order to get some clout. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like, you know, for me personally, is not that big of a deal for me.
Okay. Well, I will say, when I first started writing No Apologies, I really just wanted to write it to just, like, you know, get the pain that I was feeling out on paper. You know what I'm saying? Like, I even said in the book, like, this isn't no self-help book. I can't tell you how to heal because I'm still healing myself. But once I started getting feedback from people, you know, this one girl told me, and, like, I will always remember her. She told me, you know, reading your book, a lot of the things that the guy said to you in there is a lot of things that my baby daddy said to me. And if it wasn't for you, I would probably be getting abused right now. Thank you for opening my eyes. So that, you know what I'm saying, gave me passion. Like, you know what? You were built for change. Your story, it made me realize why God was pushing me to write it so much. Like, take your personal feelings out of it and do and write the book, because it helped a lot of people. You get what I'm saying? I had another lady that was older than me. She was like, you read my life and you're younger than me. She was like, I looked up to you. So that helped me, you know what I'm saying, to want to make a difference, because I've always wanted to write books to make change. I never wanted my books to be for entertainment. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, okay, a lot of these books like Fly Girl, The Coldest Winter Ever, there was a deep message behind it, but let's just be honest, people was reading it because, girl, did you see this sex scene? Did you see this? Like, we weren't internalizing it and trying to interpret that, you know what I'm saying? These girls had some rough lives, you know what I'm saying? Like, coming of age, they had a lot of heartbreak, and I think if I read those books now, I would interpret it different than I did back then at 14. But I want a story that's so powerful to where you can't even look at it and see it as entertainment. You have no choice but to, like, you know what I'm saying, want to change yourself. And that's why I created this podcast, because I'm like, if I don't know what self-love is, I'm pretty sure a lot more people out there don't. Let's get on here and let's talk about it. So, that's my take on it. Like, it turned, you know what I'm saying, from wanting you know, people's praise and everything to say, oh, you got through that, so you know what, I can make a difference. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a victim, and I got to stop looking at myself like that. I'm a survivor, and I'm going to keep going. So, yeah. All right, DC, let's end out the show with the dynamic quote of the week.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the caption of the podcast this evening, and we're going to hit you with a dynamic quote. And the dynamic quote is, jealousy comes in so many forms. Not just hating on success. Someone can be jealous of the way people love you or respond to you. They can be jealous of your work ethic or your peace. If they act lukewarm to positivity in your life, take heed and move on accordingly. So the quote basically says it all. You know what I'm saying? Just take note as to who, you know, who you're around and how they act towards everything. You know what I'm saying? Negative people are alive in effect. They out here. They real. They manifest bad shit in your life.
you know what I'm saying, just for the simple fact that they aren't doing as good as you or better than you. You know what I'm saying? Negative people don't feel threatened by the weak. When they see the potential and the capabilities, that's when they feel the need to bring you down. So keep your eyes peeled, stay around positive people, and keep leveling up. Be dynamic with it, flat out. And that concludes it for tonight. So everybody, remain positive, stay safe, stay healthy. Peace and love, and we out.
Peace and love.